This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, September 8th, 2015, episode 34. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculation. Speculation's the best part each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter handle. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, Brian with an eye, Aldridge. What's going on, Brian?
Not too much. 3-day weekend. It felt like today was Monday, like all day. I just didn't feel like we were going to do the show.
I mean, I would have been fine with that.
Oh, you'll be all right. It's not that bad. Today will be better.
Now, people are telling me there was no audio in the stream. There most definitely was.
What are you talking about, no audio?
Well, the Kill Cam said there was no music. The VU meter was... I have no clue. Speculation is all we have, man, Stan is saying. I would agree with that. That's about all we have because we don't have any solid facts. So it's speculation for an hour.
Hey, well, first of all, if you want to find me on the internet, you can go to biteoftech.com. Well, I figure we'll just get it going. biteoftech.com with an I, of course. Or if you want to go to google.com/+BrianAldridge, that'll take you my Google Plus profile and our website, which is infectionpodcast.com, an excellent place to go find our forum, our Steam group. If you need to get a hold of us through email, there's a form on there, and that's infectionpodcast.com.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to go, Brian, right?
Yeah, someone on our YouTube feed did say that they heard.
Oh.
They heard it. The audio was on there, so.
Well, that's good, I guess, right?
And Pistol Pete says there was music, so I think that we're good to go.
Okay. Well, then if that's the case, welcome to Infection, everybody.
Don't have to start over.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to because I saw the audio here. It would have been the CDNs cutting it off. I'm a little fired up this week, Brian.
I know you sent me a message on Skype, saying that you were really worked up, and I'm like, uh oh, what happened?
Yeah, you know, it's so let's get this out of the way. I have not played H1Z1 in probably 2 weeks now. I have no interest. The game doesn't have currently anything that is trying to pull me into the game. None of my friends are playing the game, and if they are playing the game, they play for 15 minutes and then they stop.
I think that a lot of people have been that way. Like I've been playing, but I've been mostly playing VRs. When I do get on, I don't want to do survival right now because I don't think the survival is in a good place. Like there's no point to it for me right now. It just doesn't feel like there's a reason to go in there. I mean, we have a base, we have stuff, my player's sitting there fully geared, but I don't really want to run around because I just know rather than having fun encounters in the game, I'm just going to run into somebody that's going to try to kill me. I mean, what's the point of leaving the base?
You know, we'll roll into this first. This is this is a post on Reddit that was submitted 3 days ago. The tagline was H1Z1, where are we now? And this guy, if you're like I say every week, if you're a real H1Z1 fan, if you're a hardcore H1Z1 person, I would recommend going and reading this post. But he's just saying like this is like Call of Duty. This is a first person shooter. This is not a zombie survival game, bro. Yeah. Not a zombie survival game at all. It's a first person shooter. And I love first person shooters. Don't get me wrong, because I bought the $250 edition of the Call of Duty Black Ops 3. I love Call of Duty. Don't get me wrong. But this is not Call of Duty. This is not supposed to be Call of Duty, and it wasn't marketed as Call of Duty. Right now, the survival in this game is just atrocious. It doesn't even exist. There is no point of survival, and that's what this post is saying and what my own personal opinion is. There's no survival in this game. It does not exist. Their survival consists of seeing somebody and just getting killed by them.
And in the chat, I'm going to post this Reddit article so people know what we're referring to. But yeah, this is one where it's somebody who, as they said, they enjoy the game a lot. They love the game. It's not that they're sitting there just wanting to hate on the game, but you know, they're going through and I think saying exactly what a lot of people's feelings are, because for us, the regular survival game has just become non-existent. And, you know, being that there's not new content in there, you know, they can move things around right now, and they can go and put a police station, you know, up in the northeast part of the map, or, you know, do little things like it, put those little lookout towers around the map.
But little things.
But what is that doing towards our actual enjoyment? I'm not using those things when I go in game. I did go, you know, loot the police station there once to get some stuff, but that's not changing how I feel when I'm in the game.
Brian, what was the last actual feature that they put in this game? Can you name me an actual useful feature that they put in this game anytime recently? What are they currently doing to build the game besides fixing stuff that they broke themselves?
They added the watchtowers to the base building, which...
Yeah, but that was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a current feature. They are not currently doing anything for this game. The leaderboards in BR, which were promised over 2 months ago, still do not work. What are they currently doing in this game? What the hell is this development team doing? You got me. They fix the same bug every single week. The patch notes are the same thing every week, Brian.
Yeah.
Or fixing spawn issues. You've been fixing spawn issues for the last 6 freaking months.
Now, I did see some them respond to that in a Reddit article, because someone said why this was another article or something that someone posted this week. It said, why are you constantly fixing the same problem? You know, are you guys constantly fixing the same problem, or is something else happening? And what they did say is that it is not the same bug that you're seeing, but because of things that they're implementing, it's just the same type of bug coming up. So it's not that whatever crash on the loading screen that came back a week later, it's not that same crash at the loading screen. It's something else causing it, which I don't know if that makes me feel that much better.
It's just unbelievable that this game is not being... I wouldn't even say there's an active development. There are mods with like game mods with like 3 people that get developed more actively than H1Z1 does. And they have an entire company, an entire development team for this game. Killcam is saying that the base structures are no longer repairable from the outside again. Like, how do you mess that up?
Which makes a big problem, because when you have a big base, you can't get to everything from the inside. Sometimes you're having to figure out from the outside to go and repair. And okay, so that does bring us to, what about those construction boxes that are supposed to use resources to repair the base?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a solution to that. That's something I haven't heard about in a while. Are they still planning on releasing that in the next month or two?
I just cannot understand what this development team is doing. This game is so unbelievably stale, and all they're worried about is this stupid H1Z1 Invitational. That's all that they are worried about. I understand it's a big event, don't get me wrong, but it was, we all, and I said this from day one, Brian, the H1Z1 Invitational was way too early. The game is not full. What's going to happen when this H1Z1 Invitational goes great and all these people come back to the game and realize that the core game doesn't work? Is that going to really look good for Daybreak when they come back and they see not a damn person is actually playing the game? There's 2 servers that are high pop. Everything else is low pop. What are these people going to play?
Yeah, I mean, that is a problem. It seems like 2 to 3 servers are high pop now and the rest are all low.
Nobody is playing the survival. So then what is going to happen when Twitch, when, you know, all of these people see it on the limelight on TwitchCon and they buy the game and they go and they say, wow, nobody is playing this game.
But the thing is, I think a lot of people are playing BRs. Like, a lot of people are playing BRs. And that's, I remember last week I said, do they almost need to just scrap the whole survival thing and just release H1Z1 BR?
You know, they might as well at this point. Because,
I mean, it would save them a lot of resources.
And Manstan is saying, what is wrong with low pop? There's nothing wrong with low pop, but nobody's playing the game. You go on a low pop server, you don't see anybody.
Low pop is good for certain things, but the problem is once you've built your base kind of done your thing, you're going to then have to venture out from your base to go find stuff to do, and you will find that there are no people. You'll have to run, and once in a while, we've run into this multiple times with our clan. We enjoy a low pop server in the beginning, but the issue is all of a sudden then once you've finished building your stuff and getting your resources and you're all geared, you need something else to do.
and that other thing right now doesn't exist. And I just, I cannot, and I'm just so fired up about this because I just feel like what we were initially promised is not, it's not coming to tuition or fruition. It's just not happening. Yeah. Tuition. Yeah. School's on my mind. It's not coming to tuition. What are they doing? What is the, what is the development team currently working on right now? Can you tell me what feature are they currently working on?
Now that they don't have the roadmaps really anymore, it's kind of difficult to say where they're going.
I can tell you what they're working on. They're working on fixing the flipped axe direction, which has been screwed up since day one.
Well, didn't they fix that this past week?
I couldn't tell you, Brian. It's been in the patches for the last 8.5 months. I mean, it's just unbelievable at this point. And my whole thing, and I used to say this, and I still agree this, I don't need a laundry list of patch notes every week, but when it's the same, like, copy and paste thing that they fixed over and over and over and over again, what am I doing? Or, you know, why am I wasting my time?
Well, I've had a lot of people make comments of, how are you guys implementing these patches into the game, first of all, to where things are constantly getting broken? And some people suggested that all these different areas that they have kind of putting in these patches, not communicating with one another. That's why we get so many times that they'll implement one thing that'll break it, you know, another department's code.
And I don't want to sit here and act like I could run this company so much better, because I have no clue what the resources and the manpower takes to run a game development team, or in fact a game development company like Daybreak. But the lack of communication Brian and I have seen on a private level when communicating with the company, and you know, that's understandable. It's not even understandable, but we can deal with it when it comes to dealing with emails, right? The departments are talking with emails, whatever. It's a minute thing. They don't really care. But when it comes to them not even communicating on what they're updating in the game and what one department fixes breaks what the other department is working on. Again, test servers, please. Hello? Do we have test servers in this game, Brian? Can you remind me?
Yeah, no, but they're all so low pop.
I wonder why.
We keep saying that they need incentives for the test servers.
You know, but at this point, an incentive won't even get me to play, because I just don't care to play this game. And at this point, they are past the point where an incentive is going to do anything. Nobody cares.
Well, they're going to have to give survival some serious love, and they're going to have to really make the zombies a threat. And that's one thing that I remember, really fun times when they turned the zombie levels up to where there were just, I mean, there almost were too many zombies at a point where your base would just get surrounded. But right now, it's not a zombie survival, and I've heard a lot of people say it.
Food and water and zombies should all be things that you have to manage on a, you know, 20-minute basis or a 10-minute basis. Brian, I don't know how much DayZ mod you played, but my screen was constantly grayscale because I didn't have enough food and water. That's what it was like. You were searching for food and water constantly. In H1Z1, you just run around and pick berries. I mean, well, how is that a solution?
It's got to be a slow grind, is one thing.
There's no grind at all. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, and this is something I've said in the last number of weeks is, I can go to Pleasant Valley and I can either kill somebody, which this article actually refers to, that, you know, you don't even have to really try. All you do is go kill somebody and take their stuff. But I can go to Pleasant Valley and kill a few zombies, be fully geared, and then where's the progression after that? What else do I have to do other than maybe building something? But we already have stuff built. I don't want to be more on the pollution and just be placing shacks everywhere.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, yeah, right in the middle of the road.
That's all we need is more stuff set out. Yeah, so it's like shacks. What is there to do after I've got the full size backpack. I'm fully camoed out. I've got a 308 with at least 15 rounds, a shotgun with about 15 rounds. What else do I need to do?
There is nothing. Like, there is nothing.
What's the next step? And that's something that I keep pushing, is they have to come up with, now that I'm at that point, what am I going to do today? And right now it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to log off and I'm going to go do some BRs. You know, that's what it feels like it's come down to, is I'm at that point. You know, what is the point of leaving my base now? going out and trying to find someone who's, you know, to shoot? I mean, is that what this game is supposed to be about?
No, but that's, I mean, that's what I said when it's the Call of Duty mentality and the Call of Duty aspect. That's what Call of Duty is. You walk out of, you go out of where you are and you go and you try to kill people. That is the only goal.
That's not what I want to do, and that's what's really driven me away
from...
And
that's not what you want to do. That's not what this game is supposed to be. That's not what this game was set to be. This was set to be a zombie survival game. Survival. But there's no survival aspect of this game.
I don't... Yeah, I have food and water. That's not a threat. For me to leave the base, there's not a goal for me to go and seek out something.
It's just to get more crap. Oh, yeah, we need more guns. We need 300... 45 rounds. Let's go get some more. That's all we do. Or that's what we used to do, at least. We'd have our chests are full of ammo and food and building and scrap metal and cloth. What else do you need?
Yeah, Killcam in chat, and he's on YouTube. He does a lot of videos. And he says pretty much building a mega base is the primary thing for them. And then killing people in raiding bases is about the only other thing apart from that. I mean, there's not, Man Stan says hoarding, you know, there's nothing else to do. So pretty much that's what this game is going out and hoarding stuff. They really need to come up with progressive content. Something that, like I mentioned before the show, that we're playing this game called Heroes and Generals, an incredibly slow grind. Like, it's not an easy game. You're not going to get anything very fast, but a lot of people are playing it. And for me, that is a lot of fun. Because it's not like I hit my cap and then what am I supposed to do after this? Like, you're never quite there. You're the same thing with World of Warcraft. It's very rare that you're going to be fully geared out and at the top. You know, it takes a long time to get there. Months.
Yeah.
At least. And then that's pushing yourself. This game, you're instantly there. I mean, I might as well, you know, be playing Minecraft and be an admin and just hand myself all the stuff. Yeah. That's pretty much how easy it is. And that you get the same amount of enjoyment out of doing that. Like, the whole game of it is gone.
Yeah. And a lot of comments, at least in this post and in chat, are hackers are back now because it just, whatever. The no clippers are gone. Anybody that's left is no clipping. At this point, Sony dumped Daybreak or the Sony Online Entertainment for whatever reason. They got picked up by this investment company, and that's what's left. We have a half ass patched together game.
But do you think it's really changed though since the company's changed? I mean, to me, we were complaining about the exact same things back when it was Sony Online Entertainment.
Is that a sign though, Brian?
No, I
don't think it was a sign. Sony dumping the company.
Well, I would think that if it was really, I didn't see a lot of logic to it. I think there would be logic if after this happened, they said, okay, wait, we're not going to make this free to play. Like, if they were getting away from Sony so that they could have some freedoms, but I haven't seen them taking any freedoms.
No, nothing at all. They fired their current CEO. The new CEO has not tweeted since he became the CEO of the company. Nobody's introduced him. Actually, I haven't even seen a single post from an official Daybreak employee saying this is the new CEO. I saw it like on a VentureBeat article. I mean, I'm just so unbelievably frustrated. And everybody thinks that I hate the game and I want it to fail. I love this game and I want it to succeed and I want it to strive. Yeah. But at a current aspect, all they care about is giving, sending four people to the TwitchCon and giving away 1,000 Daybreak points.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. I mean, we'll go through we had two update notes since last. Actually, we had really one update note since last week. We did last week's show on September 1st. We had one update and it was,
we had a test server update and then we had a live server hotfix.
Yes.
Right.
That was pretty much, other than that,
it's been TwitchCon announcements. Like the winners and...
But Brian, we were told that the TwitchCon would not affect the current development of the game. And then guess what? And Brian, you know, I'm really going to get really negative here because this is a lot of fun. And guess what we have to look forward to after TwitchCon, Brian? Guess what we have to look forward to?
Them moving
to a brand new office. So productivity at its worst will just get even worse as they are going to be transferring their entire company to a brand new studio. That's what we have to look forward to. That's going to be our next, like, this. That's going to be the next month.
So people in chat, they're saying, you know, it'd be really easy to include daily quests, NPCs, MMO-like objectives. Do you see that as far as our idea of a zombie survival? Do you see that sort of thing?
No, I don't.
Improving this?
No, because a zombie survival game, I don't think the daily quests, that doesn't fit the game, right?
Okay, what about achievements? Like, let's say daily you have, you get some sort of bonus or something that you get for killing 50 zombies, in a day.
I think those are more time sinks than they are achievements.
Exactly. But I've been begging for those.
I'm not really a big achievement person or whatever. So,
but I think a lot of people are, and that's what's going to bring people in, at least logging in and trying.
Yeah. Monkey Butter is saying in chat, they only care about BR and skins. That's pretty much what that guy said in that post, which was, we're spending so much time adding these neon green skins to the game, which are, you know, again, really useful in a zombie game, that we're not spending time on anything else. BR and skins, because the game has to be free to play. The game can possibly not be pay to play.
What's that one? There's a game that you can create your own skins in, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. I don't remember the name off the top of my head, but the players can actually create their own skins.
In-game skins.
Yeah, actually, I have it in my library. APB Reloaded.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So players can actually create their own outfits. And it's like, if they're really worried about this, you know, they want tons of stuff, why don't they just have it to where people can create their own skins and then sell it on the market, which, you know, they take a cut of, and quit putting so much time into creating skins?
And this will kind of segue us, Brian, into our, I have a new topic here that we're going to segue right into. It's going to be, this was actually sent to us on Twitter, Brian. This is from RH Hostage on Twitter. And he sent us a screenshot a little bit earlier in the week, but he was browsing around the PlanetSide 2 forms, and mm-hmm. he came across a line from an administrator that said that they are working hard on launching a player studio in H1Z1.
Oh, actually, he was trying to send me links on this.
Yeah, so
I'm actually talking to him in YouTube Live. So
yeah, the player studio is what PlanetSide 2 had, I believe, which was it's like you can just like make your own stuff and submit it, right? Isn't that what the player studio was?
Yeah, you can pretty much create the 3D graphics, the 3D models, and submit them for approval. And this is something I've been asking for them to implement for H1Z1 for months, because they put so much effort and time into making these shirts and hats and everything, which is fine. But there are a lot of people that would be willing to do that work for free. This would free them up to go and work on buildings, you know, work on cars, the things that have been stale for months.
The things that the community can't work on. I mean, you're taking a perfectly good community aspect and making your own developers that you're paying X amount of dollars an hour to work on that, when you could have community submissions. Free labor. We love nothing more in America than cheap and free labor. And instead, we have these art directors that spend $100,000 going to school that are making skins for T-shirts with a chicken on it that says "Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner." I mean, come on, give me a break.
Well, I guess that does bring to mind how many new things have we seen in game as far as buildings, and
the last thing I can think of
that they've actually put into game towers.
The last big thing that I can see was the Cranberry Police Station, which said Pleasant Valley on it.
But the problem is the Cranberry Police Station is a clone of the Pleasant Valley Police Station.
No, it's
different. They just put a thing that doesn't let you go down in the basement.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty much the same building. So that's what I'm saying, is they put so much effort, and I know they're building this whole new city. But the thing is that none of that is in game yet.
And based on, you know, the just what we see from this, I don't think that's going to be anytime soon. That's not going to be December. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not going to be. That's we're not going to say that until middle of 2016. Let's be real. I built an entire new city. An entire new city, bro. An entire new map. They're building an entire new map. And we're looking how long it takes to get the littlest things implemented into the game.
That is what's frustrating me is how much major change. We've seen a lot of hats and shirts. We've seen some new guns. But these are things that if you opened it up to the community, within a week, all of this content would be here. All the stuff that we've seen over the last couple of months would be submitted within a week. I mean, do you agree?
Yeah. No, you're taking a perfectly good... I mean, I'm just talking about people that we know in our group. Look at Falcon. Falcon's Watch does amazing stuff with 3D models. Ferment does the same thing. Those are two people just within our group that I know would be working.
If that were opened up, if they opened up that player studio to them, they would be submitting things.
And now take that and open it to the million plus people that own the game. Because if we remember, there are over a million copies of H1Z1 sold. So take that and open it to the million people that currently own the game.
Yeah. If they opened up, even I think a lot of the issues that we run into is because it's on their own private engine. I mean, they're so limited. If it were on Unreal or, you know, a major engine, they would be able to open it up to the modding community and it would just unload. I mean, look at some of these major games and when they open up to the mods, or the ability to make mods and submit them. Just look at how these games change.
Yeah, and
how much content gets created.
And that's pretty much what Jay Delery is saying in chat. He says Ark had the right idea. They brought in some of the public mods into their game and opened stuff up to modders first. Modders make it a
paid for game. But the thing is they can do that because you paid for that game, right?
Yeah.
It's just like Arma. It's like people played DayZ originally, but they still had to buy Arma.
Yeah, I spent $40 on Arma.
There's somewhere that is creating income. Here, they're not relying. It's not like they can open up to the community and make it something that you can actually submit things to because they're too worried that you're not going to have to buy anything. Like, okay, if players submit skins and they have the ability to mod and put their own skins in there, then what are people going to pay for? Like, what are we providing them? And I don't think that should be. I think if you should buy the game, and then if we want to mod it and make it what we want to make it, then you should be happy with that because it'll continue to grow the game and make people continue buying it.
Yeah. So we'll get back into this a little bit. Let's get into some news now. We've been ranting for half an hour. but you know, it's just, I sent Brian that message that he said before the show. And I pretty much just said, this is going to be a bad week. Like this is just going to be a week. I'm just raw emotion and opinions on this. There's no other way. And I know I'm not the only one that feels like this. And I know, Brian, that you're not the only one that feels like this. This is a general consensus across the vocal minority of H1Z1.
Well, okay, so BRs to me feel very much like survival now, or survival feels very much like BR to me now. And I feel like there's less to risk and it's less of a waste of my time to just go into a BR and get it over with.
Yeah.
Because I agree with that. Going into survival now, it's like, okay, I'm just going to go run into somebody and they're going to try to shoot me and I'm going to try to shoot them. I don't really want to lose all the stuff that I've gotten together. I'll go do it in BRs.
There you go.
And that's what it's turned to because, I'll log out in my base on the regular and I'll go do a BR and then I can, you know, get the feeling of shooting somebody and that'll be done.
Yep. All righty. Hey, let's just wrap up the show here while we're at it.
Let's go into. Yeah,
we've got some patch notes. So this first one is, I don't think we covered this on the show last week.
We didn't.
This was we did or didn't?
We did not.
Okay, this is the September 1st update. So this was the day that we did the show, and this was a test server update. So a few of the things that they fixed here, some animation stuff. They fixed the flipped axe and machete direction, because I think it affected both items from screenshots that I saw. Another issue they fixed animation-wise was the popping and iron sights transition, which is...
You know, they put notes on this, and that's what... I'm wondering, because we did talk about some of this.
I think we did do all. I think this is just a recopy from the forums last week, because I'm almost positive we covered this.
Yeah, that's strange because this was posted after the show.
Yes. Yeah, so, and then just a few other.
No, actually, this was on the day of the show, so we did cover this.
Yeah, maybe. But either way, this was still a test server update. The leaderboards were disabled because it was causing crash issues. We had the render distance from barrier from some barrier objects where stuff wouldn't render in properly. Adjusted some weather settings, and then we also added some stuff to make to hide chat messages. Fixed ignored keystrokes when interacting with objects quickly, which is that case where you spam E a bunch and it doesn't do anything at all. And then fixed another case of being stuck at the loading screen. And I think we did cover that last week.
So we covered that last week. So since last week, there has been one patch. And I'll read it to you. So this was a hot fix that I did on the 6th. And it says, we'll be hot fixing in some data that should correct the frames per second loss. You should see the download available at approximately 10:30 tonight. That's it. So something happened and the frame rate dropped for a lot of people to where it was just, it got really bad. So they fixed the frame rate drop, and that was the patch from the past week.
Yeah. So, and they didn't even do patch notes for the patch that broke that thing.
Where is that? Why are they doing a hot fix and not posting what they actually patched?
I don't know, Brian. Good question.
Yeah, you know, it's like there is, if you could go search everywhere, there's no like 9.5 patch. You know, I mean, you can search, but there is no 9.5 patch.
There's no 9.5, there's no 9.4, there's no 9.3, and there's no 9.2.
So
that's our patch notes for the week. Normally a segment, and
we read last week, one of last week's, just for, you know, to get to spread out the time on it.
Yeah.
So it was a 10 second.
And Hanny is saying the holiday weekend, that holiday weekend has absolutely nothing to do with why they didn't do a patch, either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday.
Yeah. They still had lots of time to do a patch.
Yeah. The holiday weekend. If they did a patch on Friday and it didn't get fixed until Monday, that's a holiday weekend. But when they do a patch on, they do a patch and they don't release
on the first,
anything.
That was last Tuesday, or yeah. That was actually.
Well, the fact that did a patch without testing it before a holiday weekend is a shame on you moment. Like what? They didn't test it internally to see a frame loss. It was a widespread issue. There was 1,000 posts on Reddit about how the FPS, there's so many FPS issues.
Yeah.
Like no internal testing was done on that? Or again, which I still stand by, the fact that the test servers and the live servers are not identical hardware on identical OSs. I don't think they're the same. There's no way that they are the same. Or we still would not be having these the FPS loss is a game breaking issue, Brian. When you go into game and you're getting sub 30 frames a second, that's just not acceptable. That is a game breaking issue.
Yeah, I don't know. So they I'm looking for that. They put the hot fix, but I'm looking for the actual patches. Did they forget to do the actual notes?
And you know, maybe they were short staffed, but why did they do a patch? And
I think maybe they realized they broke it, and he never posted the actual patch. Because I mean, I'm sure they did fix some things.
Who knows?
But they need to. That's the thing is they.
And again, the holiday
patches. They need to make it like every time we put out. Here's the list.
But
of
again, the Hanny's saying that the patch happened on Sunday. Well, if it was a holiday weekend, the patch shouldn't have happened on Sunday. So the holiday weekend is not the excuse. The fact that they patched on Sunday, short staffed, and then when they realized they broke it, then they had to fix it. The holiday weekend is not the excuse. It's not they didn't do the patch on a Thursday and it didn't get patched for 3 days because of the holiday weekend. They did a patch on a Sunday before Memorial Day, and then had to scram to fix it. That's, I don't know. That's not that. No, I don't buy it. So that's our updates for the week. We have we had just a single line of text for this week's patch notes. But Brian, you put a cool note in here, and this is really interesting. And sometimes they do this where they like take a bunch of data and they kind of just display it into a graph. And that's and not necessarily a graph, but what this thing is
a heat map.
It's a heat map of zombies. So
This is, it looks like throughout the whole map. Yeah, so this, yeah, this was something they pulled together trying to track down what was causing the frame loss. And so this is actually a, if you look at it, you can see there's PV, there's hot spots of where these zombies are actually, and maybe there's around certain people's bases on that particular map.
Yeah, this is PV right here, then Cranberry, Rancho Taquito, just some other random locations. So that's the heat index stuff. And the heat index stuff is really cool. I like seeing these data dumps, which is essentially what this is. Right? This is them collecting data and then dumping it into some type of graph or infographic.
I would think there would be more zombies, though. You know, I mean, there's zombies, but if you look at, there's some pretty big dead spots.
Yeah, like 3/4 of the map.
Yeah, I mean, they have zombies around some particular Rancho Taquito, around Pleasant Valley.
Zims,
there's some. But it's like, if you look around, there's some big dead spots. And that's not that many zombies for the size of the map.
Yeah, well, I don't know if each block is an actual zombie or if it's a zombie spawn location. I don't know what this means. But you can see that...
Yeah, so this showing AI locations for one of the servers.
Okay, so this is individual AI locations.
So this is where, and I'm assuming, I don't know if this is also counting bears and deer. I would assume it's just zombies. Because it seems like bears and deer would be in a lot of those spread out areas.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing them in those spread out areas. You know, you would see a lot of bear and deer there. So this has got to be just zombies.
Yeah, Level Up Auto is saying he didn't. He's asking if we knew that if H1Z1 was a wolf survival game. I was not aware. Now I am.
Your goal is to outrun the wolves.
Yeah. And before they nerfed the bears, that was that. But we did actually have something this week, Brian. We didn't have patch notes, but what we did have was one of their live streams, which have come a long way from the first one, which was interesting. And this one, they announced their third TwitchCon contestant winner. And this was one of the ones that they, where they said, like, come find Greg at PAX for your chance to win a trip to TwitchCon. This was this contest. And it's the guy that we showed last week with the cool cosplay. And his name is Solid FPS. And he won at PAX Prime, so he will be heading to TwitchCon.
So this was the third, and the fourth, at least during this broadcast, they hadn't announced because he wasn't checking his email.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they've even put the
fourth one is on Twitter.
Okay, so OmniSkills. So he must have responded. Part of what they were saying is they were worried that he was not, I guess maybe in the United States. They were saying they weren't sure because the guy hadn't responded that maybe he was not in, you know, to be a part of this, you're supposed to be from certain countries.
Yeah. This was a US only 18 plus contest. Which understandable as international flights are not the cheapest thing in the world.
During this broadcast, they had said, well, you know, we haven't heard from him on his email. We don't know yet. So they put him on there, so I would assume that means that he can be there.
Yeah, yeah. They tweeted around like 2 hours ago or 3 hours ago from the H1Z1 game account announcing that he was the third winner, or the fourth winner in that case. So just going over this quickly, we can we've got Schmagoogle is our first winner, and our second is Chef Gobe. Third
is it Gobi or Gobi
or Gobe? Well, whatever, we'll figure it out once the invitational happens. Fourth one is Solid FPS, and then the fourth one is OmniSkills with a Z, of course. There are your TwitchCon finalists, and
that would be really funny is if like OmniSkills, who maybe people may not know about him, what would be funny is someone like that goes and wins the whole thing.
Yeah. This is a chance to play in the tournament, correct? This isn't just a free pass to TwitchCon, right?
Yeah, these guys actually get a play.
Okay, awesome. So we'll see that now. Current countdown: TwitchCon is in 2.5 weeks. about. So we'll it's the 25th and the 26th of
September.
So 2.5 weeks, still plenty of time for
today. The prize pool went up about $2,000. So
you want to just jump into that now? We're totally off off
off the show notes.
Yeah, it doesn't really even matter at this point. So Brian, you want to announce this?
All right. So currently, our invitational prize pool is $140,560.
Yeah.
So that is our current total. Earlier today, it was around $138,896. So it's just under $2,000 that it's gone up in today, you know, from this morning till now. So it'll be interesting to see if we get, I guessed, what, 200,000?
Now, Brian.
You guessed 150, a combined 175 for podcast.
So we're going to try this right now. This is a Twitter. This is the hashtag. We'll let the infection pool go on one more week, I guess.
Yeah.
So this was from Ferment, and if I click that, it does turn on. And Ferment on Twitter had to say that he thought the infection pool was going to be very specific, $168,523. So 168,523 for the infection pool, and they're currently at, what, 140,000? So,
yep. I mean, he may be right. I mean, that
I doubt it. this is... They might hit 250,000. Who knows?
I don't know. I think I'm still right at 200,000.
I don't know. So there's our if you tweet.
And so Level Up Audio is asking, is this a winners take all tournament? And no, from what I've read, it is not. It's going to be to where people not only first place gets money. So it's going to be spread out among the top, you know, like 10, for instance. I have to look and see what it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's not a winner takes 140,000.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. I'll have to find where they had spoken about that. But they did say that the top however many players will win money.
Interesting. So, I didn't know that.
I'll have to find that post. If I don't find it before the end.
I'm just going to call you a liar until you find it.
Well, yeah. if I don't find the end, I'll try to find it for next week.
That's interesting. Show. So you take that prize pool, you know, cut it by five or ten.
But they're not going to have it to where the top five get the same amount. You know, it's going to be where the first place, it's progressive. So
true.
The first place will get a larger amount.
Okay.
So here we go. Actually, I have it right here.
Okay, prizing. Awesome. Here we go.
So the prize pool consists, and this is from when they first started, $5,000. So what they do is then 25% of the key sales go to it, which is the number we see now, known as the prize pool. So that they'll be awarded to the top 10 players of each game.
Each game?
Game. So there's 10 games total, right? Or no, sorry, 2 games, not 10 games. There's 10 winners total on 2 games. So there's going to be a total of 20 winners. Game one, someone can win in game one. And then they can win in game two. Like if someone gets third in game one and they get fourth in game two, so they win both prize pools.
There's not going to be 20 winners. There's going to be 10, 5 in each game, correct?
No.
10 in each game.
There's going to be 10 each game, but it's the same people playing games. So it could be possible that the same person would win twice. So what they'll do is they'll be awarded 10th place gets 1% of the prize pool. 9th place gets 1.5%. 8th gets 2%. 7th gets 3%, 6th gets 4%, 5 gets 5%, 4th gets 6%, 3rd gets 7.5%, 2nd gets 8.5%, and then 1st gets 11.5%. I'm sure if you add that up, that equals 50%. So you do that between 2 games, that's going to be the whole prize pool.
Does
that make sense?
Yeah. You lost me at 2+2, Brian.
So the max that someone could win of this whole prize pool
would be like
is 23%.
Okay, 23% then. Yeah.
So if someone won first place in both games, they could get 23% of the prize pool.
Which still, at the end of the day, for what these streamers are making, isn't really that much.
You got 23%. I mean, let's say if it does reach 200,000, you know, that's a decent, that's $50,000.
It is, but...
It's not bad. Would you go play a video game for
$50,000? Yes. Now, I'm not like, oh, look at me, I'm better than everybody else, $50,000. But for what these streamers are making, you know,
Some of them, not all of them.
Some of them, some of them. Some of them.
We're looking at some of these top end, like the most well known.
Cole Carnage.
Yeah, these guys are making a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're making $50,000 in like 2 months worth of donations or something. So that is
how they are breaking up the prize pool.
Yeah, and you can still tweet us. Actually, we just got another. Joe just tweeted us and said he's changing his submission.
Oh, is that allowed? Oh, yeah, because his, I think his was already passed. Yeah, like, so he said $135,000.
Yeah, so he is currently, his tweet is, he's changing his to $181,265. I like these, this social media thing is pretty cool. How it, I don't have to do work. I just click the button and it goes up. That's awesome.
Nice.
So there you go. There's going to be people that are changing it like the day before the event. Oh no, I'm changing mine. So, yeah. We'll see. I guess we'll see. I'm not a big fan of this H1Z1 Invitational. I think that's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good for the game overall. But as long as they take this and they use it to implement and come up with and put resources into the main game, because they could, as I said, release the BR as its own product and just totally scrap the whole idea of survival at this point.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't lose that many players.
Well, you know, Brian, I think I can say this right now. If they did in fact do that, I believe I would stop doing this podcast. Just being honest with you.
Because you don't think you would play enough?
No, I don't. I don't like BR. I'm sorry. It's not that I don't like BR. I want more than BR, right?
Yeah.
For me, BR is not enough.
I get BR. I get the same thing out of playing like I said, Heroes and Generals. It's the same amount of enjoyment for me, but I do feel like I get something out of playing Heroes and Generals.
Yeah, BR for me. It's just, it's not enough to be an entire game. And if they did that, more power to them, but this game would be dead way, way sooner. I mean, BR.
In the chat, they're saying this is zombie version of PlanetSide 2. Yeah. Hanny says that he hates BR.
I don't like it. It's just so boring. Brian, we play Team BR and we don't see a single person the entire game. The entire game goes by, and we don't see a single person.
Yeah,
and that's gonna sustain. And that's gonna sustain this entire game. That little game mode. That again, they should have narrowed down to one.
Well, I mean, there's
area.
A lot of people playing it, but they need, if they're gonna focus on that and that be what it is, they need to really, you know, make it to where there's different areas of the map and make it a quicker, smaller game. So that it's not a running simulator. It's not a let's sit and wait simulator. Because like today, I got to fifth place and I didn't kill a single person because I didn't see a single person until someone came in. Like, I don't remember, they hit me with a car or what.
Yeah. In fifth place.
Yeah, I was in fifth place and I hadn't seen anyone yet.
Yeah, that's what it is like every time we play. So yeah. let's Sebastian tweeted out some cool stuff this week. We showed a video or a Vine last week. That's his thing, is Vine, of new bugs in the game. There was like fireflies and moths and maggots or something like that. So we have another Vine here, and this is a more detailed insect thing. So anybody that's not a fan of maggots,
they hadn't done maggots last week. Last week they had
the cockroaches. That's what
cockroaches.
I was thinking of. So for anybody that's sensitive to this stuff, here's your chance. But this is the maggots. Thing, and the close up detail, they look pretty good, for being maggots. They're clipping through the ground a little bit, but I would just imagine it's because it's a flat terrain, and it's not really ground; it's just a flat plane. That's what's causing that, but I could be wrong. So that's
I think what they want the feeling to be is like that's in trash or something, like, mm-hmm. and they're kind of like squirming in and out of the trash.
Well, that should be next to those big dumpsters that we see outside of every single...
Or in the dumpsters, yeah.
Because all of those buildings have those dumpsters. And there's no reason that those maggots can't be around.
Killcam's saying, catering to my love of immersion elements. Yeah. So, and this is the kind of stuff that I notice. This is what makes it to where when I'm running around the game, I'm like, oh, you know, that's a detail that makes me realize that they actually put some thought into it. And that's one thing I really loved about GTA, is that there's just so much stuff for immersion in there. Like, you can just kind of run around a block and be like, look at that, look at that, look at that. Right now in H1Z1, you don't really get that. You run around the block and it's the same block. It's the same as this town versus that town. They need to put in that.
You live in a neighborhood with five houses, and you just ride up and down the street all day. That's all you're doing.
Yep.
It's interesting. We got this another image here, or another vine here from Sean Johnston. And this is the new movement blending animation. And it actually, Brian.
Before it was, it did a weird kick.
Yeah, like, and this is showing how jerky the animations were previously. This is, on the right, is the new animation where the player kind of leans to the direction instead of just kind of like changing where all of the pixels are, which is what happened in the past. So that's nice.
I saw a streamer that was sitting there messing around in a stream and actually found a bug related to this, to where if he switched weapons and jumped at the same time, like, he would get locked where he couldn't, like, he would shoot and it would do random bullets everywhere.
Oh, nice.
But it was kind of like, it was like this transition. Like, if he could get it caught in this transition, like, he couldn't go prone. He couldn't do anything. And if he shot, like, the bullets just went all over the place.
It was like you're shooting a shotgun constantly, no matter what gun you were using.
Yeah, I mean, he was using an AR and shooting the ground, and just saw the bullets just like a shotgun.
It was like shooting buckshot. Just pellets everywhere.
And I'm wondering if it's kind of this bug that they're like, well, we need to fix this, and they're fixing it at the same time. Because it was kind of during that pop animation. If he got it to where he did something at that exact moment, it would get stuck.
That's funny.
So.
I feel like we're rocking through this stuff, but there's really
so Killcam says, imagine if Rockstar did a zombie apocalypse game.
Well, they did the zombie game with Red Dead Redemption, and that didn't turn out very well at all. Undead Redemption.
But that was only for PS4, though. Like, I've never played that game because I don't want to get a PS4.
Well, Red Dead was not only for the PS4. Red Dead Redemption was for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 4. And PC, I believe.
No, there's no Red Dead Redemption for PC.
Okay, well, it's on the Xbox 360 because that's where I played it.
Well, I'm not going to put my Xbox 360 back together to play that game.
Back together? Do you have a story behind
it? I took
this,
it apart years. I had an Xbox 360 that I've played like five times.
Five times? What the hell's wrong with you?
It kept overheating, so I took it apart.
I've had my Xbox 360 since 2006, so almost 9 years, and I have not had a single problem with it.
They used to have this horrible overheating problem.
Yeah, I have the generation that has the overheating problem, and I never had it.
Yeah, mine from day one did that, and I just said, screw it, I don't want to play this thing. I'm going to go to PC only, and that's what I've done.
All right, well, right, that was a good
I used it as a DVD player for a while.
It does make the Xbox 360 does make a good media device for Netflix and YouTube. I will agree with that. But we do have more H1Z1 stuff to cover. We've got this. This is the survival female head, the third of that revision.
So this is the texture pass. So
yeah, this is the texture on it.
They're starting to texture the face to give it some realism and some depth and color. And so this will be good. Now, she has no hair right now, but why isn't this an option? You know, as far as, why don't they give it to where you have multiple, you can choose haircuts.
God, now, because then it's like I'm playing Grand Theft Auto.
No, but when you create your character, just you can choose between four haircuts. I mean, is that really that hard?
No, but you know, it's just going to say that. Oh, which one looks better? Oh, well, this one looks better with green eyes. Oh, okay. And that, I mean
why can't it can't be that hard?
But this is a zombie survival game, not.
But I want.
Not,
I want
this
to
is
wear
not the
my
Sims,
character
Brian.
Looks different. They're putting so much time into skins, which change the color of your shirt. I want it to where my character looks different.
Brian, this is not the Sims. You can't do that.
My wife, that's the only reason she'd play a game like this, is to create a character that looked a certain way.
Is your person skinny? Is your person fat? Are they tall? Are they short? Do you want the little slider bar that you can just drag back and forth?
When I play an MMORPG with my wife, it's like she'll spend the first 15 minutes creating the character, and that's her favorite part of the whole thing.
I never create characters. When I any game that requires character creation, it's just enter, start. I don't even bother with that. I could care less.
For her, that's her favorite part. And like, I want to pick out
the whole thing
exactly
is
how it looks.
These games, you don't even see your own player. Like in Age of Empires, I play in first person half the time, so if I customized my player, it wouldn't even matter. I wouldn't even see it. Useless. Yeah.
I think that they're missing out on an opportunity. And Handy did say, of course, they're going to make it to where, you know, hair is a skinnable option later. But
Soon. That's the buzzword.
You would think that is actually a game changing out. Like, rather than putting out another character that looks like a previous character, like, work on implementing a modular character system.
Yeah.
Like, quit putting out static characters like this. Make it to where the head fits, you know, you can pick the head, you can, and that goes onto the body seamlessly. Musty's saying soon, like the new car.
Yeah.
Which is just a couple people in the back of a pickup and someone sitting in the middle of the back of the police car.
Yeah, just sitting in the back of the pickup. Like, just let's just throw that in there. Just because we can. That's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, it puts off. They won't have to put it on a new vehicle for a couple months to a year now. So yeah.
Now, Brian, you posted a video in the show notes here, and I'm going to need you to kind of.
Okay, so.
We'll start this at the same time. So let me. Hold on. Let me click on your link again, and I'm going to pause.
So this is actually. And actually, we have him in chat here. This is one of Kill Ken's videos, and I actually started. You don't have to have play audio on it.
Okay, yeah. So I'm at a minute 25, and I'm playing right now.
We just hadn't seen a really good fire effect for the bass, and this was him demonstrating some of the new fire effect that they had done on the basses.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is the one. And it looks like it does less frame rate drop, like we used to run into. But the fire effect seems more spread out, and it's not just the repeating audio, I think.
And you know what's cool about this? You can see the heat, which is like something that, like, you would see, like, if you ever have like a barbecue, like a grill, and you have the lid closed and you walk out, that heat, everything looks a little blurry. You see that heat with this, which is really cool. That's a cool animation.
It looks like they actually put some time into being like, okay, let's look like this is actually on fire.
Yeah, let's look like this base is actually on fire here.
Because before, it didn't really look like it was on fire, and whatever they did totally messed it up to where you could hardly walk the second that something started on fire. Made base reading really difficult.
Difficult's an understatement there, Brian.
Yeah. Well, that was the fun part is we would bomb a base, and then it would be a race to see who could get into the front. Like, everybody would be running off the edge of the ramps just because of the timing and everything. When it was so lagged, you couldn't quite get in there.
Yeah, that was a very interesting portion of the game.
Yeah. So I just wanted to show that off because that's actually a video that showed, and that's Killcam. He's actually in our chat here right now, but that is actually a video of that fire animation effect, and we'll have a link to it. We started that video partway through, but you can wad the link to the whole thing, so you can watch it if you want to check out the show notes.
Yeah, that'll be on the website, infectionpodcast.com. What else do we have here, Brian?
This was a promo spot. This one came out the second, so we haven't shown this one yet. This is the promo spot.
Yeah, actually, I was going to pull this, I guess I forgot. So I'm gonna have to play it now. I have audio playing somewhere, and I don't know where. There it is. So this was another one of their H1Z1 promotional videos, which are, like I said last week, Brian, or maybe the week before when they released the last one. These are really well done. Like, this is about the only thing I'm happy with that the company's currently doing is these promotional videos.
Which is pretty much two people in the company and then someone. Editing it.
Yeah, this is Road. This is Road to H1Z1 Fluffy
Army.
Road
to TwitchCon.
TwitchCon. Yes.
Fluffy Army promo spot one.
Spot one as .mp4. Here we go.
Yes, there you go.
Hey, Greg.
Huh?
Have you heard of the H1Z1 Invitational?
No. What's that?
It's this live tournament that we're doing at TwitchCon. Battle Royale. All of your favorite streamers are going to be there.
Wait, is FluffyPants77 LGTE going to be there? Let me tell you about him first. He is like this amazing up-and-coming streamer, and he's like, Fluffy Army, give me a fluff ball in the chat. And then everyone in the chat's like, fluff! And the chat fills up with fluff, and everyone's like, Kappa this, and I love this game that, and your mom's the worst this. Oh, man, it's just... I subscribed, and that's the best $4.99 I've ever spent.
I don't think Fluffy Pants is going to be there, man. But some of your favorite streamers are going to be there. Lyric, Summit, Soda Pop, and you like all those guys.
Yeah.
Legendary Leah?
Yeah, they're...
She's going to be there, too.
They're great.
There's going to be a lot more. I mean, I'll work on it. I'll work on getting Fluffy Pants, all right?
Okay, okay.
You're tune in, okay?
When?
September 26th at Twitch on the main stage. It's going to be
okay.
Awesome.
Sweet. I'll be there. Sat over there.
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. These are really well done. I thoroughly enjoy these videos. Brian, I don't hear. I think you muted yourself.
Oh, yeah, I did during the video. Sorry.
I was like, oh, God, funny. What have I done? What have I done? What have I done?
Nick, fix my audio.
I know.
I think it's funny that you get so much enjoyment out of pretty much two guys talking in front of a camera.
You know, it was very...
It's like, you're like, this is so well done. And it's like...
It is. You know, it's so...
It's an easy thing. The thing is, it's hard to do
it's
well.
It's so accurate. Like, the Twitch chat, like, your mom this, like, the cap of that. Like, that's just, that's
They're
Twitch.
Pretty much just talking, yeah, what Twitch is.
Yeah, that was really well done. I thoroughly enjoyed those videos, Brian. Now, obviously,
If they could only do those multiple times per week, you'd be set. You know, we want 3 to 4 videos a week.
That's all we do. Yeah, as if the game wasn't getting worked on at all now.
Yeah, so that we'll have a link to that video, of course. But that was done. That was done right after our show last week. So that was on the second, I think. Yes.
Yeah. And I forgot. Today was just not the best day for stuff. I was gonna isolate that into the show, but we played it back on YouTube. But yeah, you know.
I forget.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that is the They're pretty much all announced, though, like people that are coming, though. I mean, they're sure they could add a few more streamers, but I bet you, looking at the invitational list, there's quite a few. I think people that are playing would get kind of frustrated that if they added too many people.
I don't think there's going to be many more people. I mean, just there
there's a lot of people. And how many? This is they're putting them all in one room. You know. They pretty much showed us the lineup of computers that they're putting in there. It's going to be that many people playing.
Yeah, it's going
time.
It's not at this point. They're so close to the event. I don't think they're going to be adding many more people. Like I think
what
we should do is
let people put in their guess of who is going to get first place at least once. Have a vote of
what would be the prize, Brian? 1,000 Daybreak game cash.
No. I'm not talking about for Daybreak. I'm talking about us. We should have it to where people can make their guess because there's a decent list of people that are going to be a part of this now.
I have a feeling more people are going to be part of it that aren't listed on their website. Like, I feel like that people can enroll in the tournament.
No. This is it. Like, it's invitation only.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's called invitational.
Yeah, well, I feel like but there may be more people.
No, they did say more to come. So there's a possibility. Like, they added Angry Pug recently.
Like,
that was a lot of community members said that they wanted in there.
Is Fluffy going to be there?
I can't seem to find Fluffy whatever on...
Fluffy Pants or whatever that channel name. If anybody in chat can help, is that a real Twitch streamer? I don't think it is.
No, they're making it up.
Okay.
That's a joke.
Okay. Because for a minute, I was like...
Never heard of the Fluffy Army.
You know, man, I browse Twitch... Not enough to really know if there was a Fluffy Army.
Look at all these streamers though, and the little silly things that they come up with though. I mean, like CD on the Third.
Yeah,
he comes up with ridiculous stuff. Like, people really get into just that whole the silliness of it.
Yeah.
So Arklager's saying they added 4 more today, and they'll announce tomorrow. Tweet about it first.
Well,
so they're going to do another big community member. So there he's saying.
Maybe it'll be Fluffy Pants, whatever the channel name was.
Nick, you need to create a
Twitch channel
really quickly with that name.
Yeah, now that you just told everybody, I'm sure I'll hop on it. I'll just make it during the show, Brian.
And be like, hey, yeah, didn't you guys know I'm a really big Twitch guy? All the time.
I'll have the default like a Twitch icon as my picture. Like, hey, yeah, I'm a big Twitch streamer.
Maybe
can I say?
he banned Fluffy Pants.
Damn.
Maybe secretly that's his alter ego.
It's possible. So we already covered the prize pool, but what we haven't done is everybody's favorite segment, Brian. Yes. Because we have a really awesome graphic, which, by the way, I just fixed last minute because I accidentally had four numbers in the thing. But it's fine now. Currently, playing H1Z1, 13,671 people. Our 24-hour peak is 16,693. And our 7-day peak is 20,743 players. This is much lower than it was last week. Now
it's gone down a little bit. If you look on the first, the peak was 18,265, mm-hmm. and then the peak today was 16,694. So it's down a couple thousand, 2,000.
Well, the 7 day is down almost 2,000. The current players, which I'm not sure how accurate this was because when I refreshed earlier in the show, SteamDB.info was showing that there were zero players playing. Mm-hmm. So Steam may have had a drop.
I think some people were making comments that Steam disconnected a little bit.
So that may have been that. But the 24-hour peak last week was something like 18 or 19,000. So it's definitely lower.
So Sunday and Monday, it was around 20,000, 20,700.
Yeah.
For both days.
Today is just not doing too good.
Today, there was a holiday Monday, so more people were home. Maybe that's usually you wouldn't see people on Monday playing
and the weekend
as much. It would be that on Sunday, Saturday, you maybe would have some high numbers. Monday it would drop down, but because it was a 3-day weekend, you pretty much, if you look, Monday actually had more people by three, I think, than Sunday.
Yeah, it was just a tad bit higher. But are we starting to see this the hype of this thing wear off a little bit? I mean, this is the second week in a row now that we've had lower numbers than the week past.
Yeah, but this is the natural progression. Part of the problem that we'll run into is before, when the numbers were driven by survival, mm-hmm. because mainly the numbers we would see were survival players, not BR players. You would see the numbers dwindle down, and then a wipe would happen or something would happen, and you see everybody come back in. Well, now that the numbers seem to be really generated from BRs, I think we're seeing that it's not, what is it that's going to reset? Nothing is resetting to make those numbers jump back up again. When they go back down, unless they make a major change to BR, maybe this invitational or something will spike up the numbers, but it's going to be difficult for them to get them to jump back up like they do with a wipe on survival.
Now, the interesting thing I have to, my two cents into this, Brian, which I'm not sure how you would agree with this, but when we were playing survival, we would play for, long periods of time. So those numbers may have been higher when survival was bigger because you don't go on and play survival. You don't play survival for, 45 minutes. I mean, you go in there and you play survival for 4.5 hours or 5.5 hours or an entire night, as Brian did once. And, that's just really, that's a constant thing. Like you don't log in and log out of survival for the most part. There's people that do, but if you're playing with a group or if you're just playing with more than one other person, you stay logged in for a decent amount of time.
These would be sustained numbers.
Exactly.
Now, but Jay DeLory is saying more BR maps. I think why can't they, and this is just putting it out there, why can't they make some smaller BR maps that are just for BR?
I got a better idea, Brian. Why don't they just sanction off the current map to one area?
But I'm saying if people really want, because you could do the same thing by taking a BR map or the whole map and saying, all right, this is going to be a BR where the people drop down into Pleasant Valley or the people dropped into Rancho Taquito, Cranberry, wherever. And the smoke is almost instantly in that area.
Yeah.
Like if they land too far outside of where they're above, the smoke is going to be on them very quickly. They're not going to have time to go out somewhere else to try to get stuff and come back in.
You don't have 15 minutes to mingle around before you're attacked by the smoke?
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea because it would make it to where the game started quicker. Mm-hmm. If people are, and they could have this as a different BR mode, like a quick BR mode. As far as everything, if you want to have a long, drawn out 20-minute BR, you can do a regular one, which lands you across the whole map, and then it comes down. But I think a lot of people are going to want that more of a CSGO style, to where it's starting out in a much smaller area. The smoke's already there. and it's people, you know, just a quick fight to the finish. It's going to last, you know, 5-10 minutes.
Possibly.
I mean, that would be a way that they could really get this going. You know, I'm sure people will still want to play the long drawn out one, but then you could also introduce smaller maps that are just ones that they made for this type of a gameplay that, all right, we're dropping down into this different map. It's not like they have to create a huge area for it, and they could probably put them together in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
That to me seems like that would be a good way to bring the numbers back up.
It would, but I think the first step to that, before we get into making a brand new map, is just sanctioning off the current map so that it's, for, you know, two-man team BR, it's a much smaller circle.
Yeah, your drop zones are within a very limited range.
Or another solution, if they didn't want to bother doing that, because I have no clue what technically what that would mean, have it so that as you land, the gas is already coming in. So that it's a quick land wherever you get and haul towards the center. Because you're not going to, like right now, you can land out towards the what's that housing development? It's up in the upper, like near Rancho Taquito. Is that the Villas or something?
No, well, there's the Long Pine.
It's like the unfinished. Isn't that the Villas?
Yeah, the Villas, yeah.
Yeah, like we can spawn up there and mingle around and then just run and still get out of the gas. Like, there's just way too much time right now.
So, here, and this kind of brings to mind one other thing. Having played Heroes and Generals for the last couple of days, I look at how that, because it's very similar to running around and shooting similar weapons. The feel that I get from that, though, is there's a lot of things to hide behind. I don't get that feeling with H1Z1. Like, you're either in a building or out of a building. There's not a lot to hide, and there's not a lot of cover. Mm-hmm. So you can't really lay down and snipe people very easily. Like, you're going to be seen.
Yeah.
So I think that when they're going to redo this, the map, to where they make it to where there's more contours, and I think they really need to make it to where the extra foliage makes it so that it's not like you're on that hill, I'm on this hill, I'm going to shoot at you from here, because that's a lot of what we get right now.
Oh yeah, it's at least when I play BR right now, it's, wow, there's another player, unload on them. Like, there's just, you see them,
you can shoot them from such long ranges that there's, they could change the map so much. And maybe these smaller maps that you could drop into randomly would be a good place for them to test this. Mm-hmm. You know, come up with a map and look at different play styles and see how people do it. You know, just do these small maps that are quicker games and see what works best for BRs.
Yeah.
Because right now I don't think the map is, they're really focusing on BRs, but I don't think this map is made for BRs.
No, the main map here, it could be made for BRs if there were more people. But there's not enough people in the BRs for that big of a map to be...
For that big of a map. I mean, there's 200 people in a BR, but the map is still too big.
Yeah, I mean, with BR, it's pretty much, if you can survive the initial landing and you don't get killed on landing, you're pretty much guaranteed top 20.
Yeah.
Or if you make it past the first smoke zone, I mean, you're guaranteed. I don't think I've ever come in less than 20th place when I'm in that situation.
Once you get
the hardest part is just not getting killed when you land, or walking into a house or making sure that you get into your house quick enough to get a gun and get it loaded so that when the guy comes in, you know, the next guy comes in, you're there to kill him, or, you know, killing the guy at the house across the street. That is the hardest part of BR. The rest of it is just sitting in a bush and waiting.
Yeah.
So there definitely needs to be some changes to BR. I think first step, just making the map a little bit smaller. But
it's not like they have to make the physical map smaller. As I said, if they just drop you into a smaller area and bring the smoke in almost instantly, people aren't going to try to land outside of that area.
Exactly.
I mean, they're not going to be sitting there drifting way to the side, because they know if I do that, I'm going to die within 30 seconds from the smoke.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's my thoughts. You know, it's going to be interesting with the H1Z1 Invitational. I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of just sitting in trees and, like, the winner. What if the winner wins by just sitting in a bush?
Which is possible.
Like, how awesome
that would be kind of embarrassing, though.
That's going to be great. But you got to remember, streamers also have a different mentality because they're trying to be entertaining. And they don't really care. Well, the H1Z1 Invitational might be, it might be different. Because they're actually going to try to win, but in
and they're not going to be sitting there, just talking and gabbing the whole time.
Hey, Aizel, what should I do next here? Should I go and try to kill this guy, or should I team up with him? I don't really know what to do next. Like,
it's not like they're going to be doing role-playing during the whole thing.
Yeah, I think they're going to be... they're going to actually be trying to win. So I think we're going to see a lot of, I don't want to say camping, but a lot of just waiting. Like right now, these streamers don't wait. They're just constantly running around trying to find people and kill them.
So I'm African Jesus says would be 100,000. I'm not saying that'd be embarrassing for the player. I'm saying it'd be embarrassing for Daybreak or H1Z1. If the video of the winner is just like what we experience most of the times in BRs of, all right, I got a gun. All right, now I'm running. And then it's 10 minutes of just running across the map and not seeing a single person.
And then you're sitting in a bush, and then it just says winner, winner, chicken dinner. You have 30 seconds to celebrate. That's how the game ends. Like if that's how the H1Z1 Invitational ends, that is going to that's going to suck. Like that's not going to be good.
So now Level Up Audio, he's saying all the team or streamers are going to crash and burn, because one thing that they did say is if you team up, they're going to actually have people monitoring the stream and making sure that people don't team up during this. So they actually cannot cooperate. It has to be every man for himself.
Screw the rules. Everybody's just riding around with each other, driving around the map. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's going to be
so. Adam said that they did have the photo and submission video link for that Omni Kills.
Yeah, it was on their site.
Skills. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I didn't watch the video.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either. I didn't have time.
But that I'll have to take a look at that. But we'll have a link for that in the show notes.
Now, Brian, you do a segment each and every week. And what do you do in this segment, Brian?
Well, all right. So this is our beginner and advanced tip of the week. And so the beginner tip is not only just for zombie survival. Maybe it's a beginner tip for BR or just something to get you started and going in the game. And then our advanced tip is something not always in game. Maybe it's something you can use to help build up your base, build up your character. But these are our advanced and beginner tips of the week. All right, so for our beginner tip, I kind of hinted that I would do this last week, and this is starting a fire in H1Z1. I gave a very this is a beginner tip. I know you think it's funny, but remember when we first started day one? I had no clue how to make a fire.
Back in my day, when I used to play H1Z1 back in January of 2015.
Yeah, back in the old days, and I was like, okay. Someone said, well, you can use a you can use a flare to start a fire. And I tried it a couple different ways and it didn't work. Like you had to get it just right. Mm-hmm. But there's just pretty much three ways to start a fire in H1Z1. So the quickest way, of course, is using a flare. And the problem with the flare, though, is once you use it, that flare's gone. So it's not something that's reusable. You light the flare. If you can get it set next to the fire, the barbecue, or you can set it just right on the campfire, it will light it, but that's the use that you get out of it. So that's not something you want for the long term. So what you can do is a consistent method would be making a bow drill. A bow drill can be created with a scrap of cloth, a wood stick, and a wood plank. And then you can just learn those, which you just discover them. Maybe we'll go over discovery and the best way to take advantage of that next week. But you click in those three objects in your discover, and then that will allow you to make this bow drill. And so use the bow drill on the wood logs or on the campfire that you made from wood logs, and that will actually start a fire. Or maybe if you're next to a barbecue or you're trying to light a furnace, just right-click on it. It takes a little bit longer. So the best method is if you can go out and find a lighter. There's no way to make a lighter or know where a lighter is going to be. They're pretty randomly spread throughout the map. So if you're going to get a lighter, there's not a place I can tell you to say, hey, go here, and you'll find a lighter. But you're just going to need to go out looting a city or looting different houses, and eventually you will come across a lighter. But until then, you can make that bow drill, and you'll be able to light things at your campfires and your barbecues. So that is our beginner tip. And then for our advanced tip, this is something that's going to be for base builders. When we're building a very large mega base, you're really going to have to figure out how much resources or how many resources do I need, how much wood, how much metal am I going to need. And so one way that you can use this is go to h1z1db.net, and they have a resource calculator. You can either go in there and say, all right, I'm going to have this many things, how much resources this use. That's one way to do it. But also you can go into SketchUp. And like for our clan, what we like to do is sketch up the base beforehand. So make the base inside of SketchUp. And then you can import that save file into the h1z1db.net resource calculator. And it will actually calculate from that 3D image file how many resources you need to make the base exactly. So you'll know, here's how much scrap metal, sheet metal, all the different things you'll need. It'll calculate it right up so you can send people out to start going and gathering those for you. So that was something that, hey, if you're going to go and SketchUp, and we have gone over SketchUp before, you can import the graphics files, and he has a link to it. And we'll have a link to the resource calculator in our show notes. But you need to import those 3D graphic files for H1Z1 into SketchUp so that it knows, all right, you're using this resource, and then it figures out how much resources each of those things are to make. So that is our beginner and advanced tips of the week.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Nisco said in chat, don't make a fire in the rain, because that actually does make the lifetime smaller.
Yes, and I think I covered that.
We talked about that a little bit ago.
It was last week or 2 weeks.
No, I think it's been longer than that. But
I think I gave that one like 3 weeks ago, and then I think someone made fun of me for doing it.
Probably me.
Yeah, but hey, it's a good tip.
Yeah, it is. Are you going to teach us how to discover stuff next? You're going to learn us how to discover next week.
I'm going to teach you how to learn next week.
Okay. I'm excited. The suspense is killing me.
Yep.
Brian, that's going to about do it, I think, for this week's episode of Infection. We went a little bit longer. I think that's because we had that half an hour rant at the beginning. Any final notes from you?
No. Of course, if you want to come and play with us in game, or if you want to just play with some people from our clan, you're more than welcome to join our Steam group. That's one of the best ways. If you get on our Steam group, you'll be able to see maybe if we're not even playing H1Z1 at the time, because we jump around games a lot, it seems like, lately. Like we'll be playing Heroes and Generals the last couple of days. The week before that, we're playing Minecraft. We'd like to play games together. So if you want to join us in some of those games as well, just hit up our Steam group. It's on our website, infectionpodcast.com. And that'll be an excellent way. And you can add me as a friend on Steam if it'll let you at that point.
Yeah. I don't know if I think we may have hit our friend limit, because there's a friend limit when it,
yeah, I wrote an email asking for them to raise it, but I'm not sure if they
and
have.
Steam's wonderful for their support. Typically is known for their like Amazon quality support, when it comes to getting stuff done. So
yeah.
I'm going to say there is not a chance that your friend limit has been raised. Did you explain that you do a podcast to them?
I did. I said that.
They're like, what a schmuck.
I do a podcast, and it's like I'm at my friend limit all the time. And I've gone and removed everybody that's not active, and it's still like it went back to being full again. It's like, can you just please raise me without me? I don't want to go through the whole game of trying to raise my Steam level. I mean, it's already pretty high. I don't know how many games now.
Brent, you have like you have 1,000 games on Steam or something like that.
I have 730-ish games, 741 games.
Jesus.
On Steam. Yet my Steam level is, I don't even know. Like, they just need to. It's frustrating.
Yeah, you've spent $250,000 on.
I'm level 13. I'm level 13 on Steam. Yeah, I have over 720 games. 386 DLCs.
How much money do you think you have invested? Do you think you have like a whole 401k worth of
I should have put it into retirement rather than buying games.
I threw it into a Roth IRA instead of Steam.
Yeah, send my future kids to college.
Hey, I tell you though, I got about 900 Steam games.
It'll be like, Dad, why can't you afford to send me to college? Have you looked at my Steam profile? Come on, son.
get with the times.
That's what I'm saying. Like level 13, like my level is low, and I don't want to have to go through the whole game of trying to do achievements and Just raise up my friend.
Brian, that would be pay to win, and we don't like that, so just stop complaining, because that's pay to win. Can't have it both ways. Brian, thank you very much. Yeah,
they should have it match. I can have as many friends as I have games. How about that?
Oh, God, I have like three friends on Steam, and like, I only have 25 games. Thank you, Brian. You guys can check out our website. I've been a little MIA. I don't know if this week's going to be any different. I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know if this week's going to be any different.
So tell your girlfriend she's not allowed to spend any more time with
it's
you
not
this
even
week.
Her.
Like, I'm not and
even
tell your school that
I'm not spending time with her either. It's just I'm busy with school and another project.
Your priorities are all in the wrong place.
I know they are. I know. And this stupid blab.im website. It's just not good.
Last night I jump on you and yeah, everybody's on blab.im. Well, cool. I mean, it's kind of like what Hangouts were in the original beginning, in alpha or beta of Google Plus. What people are going on and experiencing with that blab.im, that's what Hangouts was.
Yeah.
And so it is a cool thing.
Yeah, we should do a blab, Brian, for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing to cover. I never confused to say there's nothing to cover for H1Z1 anyway. So whatever.
Yeah, this week. No patch notes. All right.
So sad, too bad. Maybe next week. Alrighty, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. I want to thank everybody for coming out and watching the show live. We do the show live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And like I said, and like I say every week, we're pretty much available wherever you can get a podcast. iOS, Android, Windows Phone, pretty much any place that you can get a podcast, we are available. And that's pretty much it, guys. Thanks for watching. My name is Nick Craig. InfectionPodcast.com is the website, and we'll see you guys next week for Infection. Have a good week, everybody.